You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika.
If you don't listen to The Playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
We're back. Playbook's back. After a two-week hiatus, I'm joined by Rob and Sam.
Hello. What?
Sam from Powered Up Radio. Hello. We had a good show last night, Sam.
So much fun.
So great. Much fun.
That was good. That was really fun. Really, it was actually quite, like, because we've had a few shows and a few hiccups. It gets a bit high energy and a bit kind of out of the gate sometimes. I think I felt it was very, like, good balance of kind of low and high energy last night. It was It was very refined. More refined than usual, which I thought was good.
Excellent.
We're on The Playbook, we're not on Powered Up, so we shout out about that.
No, yes, Playbook, 95BFM's dedicated sports podcast. Rob is back. Rob, yep. How are you doing?
I'm all right, actually. I've got a few things I'm going to talk about.
Oh, and then the floor is yours.
Right, first off, last weekend was the World Cup of Darts. Aussie ended up winning it, but I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is what I didn't see any mention was made here of the New Zealand team, which was Ben Robb and Warren Perry. They beat Switzerland, who are no mugs, but they lost in the second round to Ireland. They didn't make it easy for them. They played really, really well. Not one mention here, apart from us. Guaranteed all the so-called sports reporting people will be all over darts when PDC are rolling into Hamilton later on this year. They're just glory seekers, and I hate them. They just jump. Like, these boys did really well, represented their country, and didn't even get a mention in the Herald, which is the shittiest thing I've ever read. They didn't mention them. I think it's disgusting, and shame on all of you.
Yeah.
Really, it's just not good enough. It was quite good, actually. I quite enjoyed it. Australian won it, and good for them. Did that sound... That sounded quite genuine, that, didn't it? Bullshit, mate. Bullshit. Anyway, cricket, just a quick mention, if you didn't know it, England have won the series against New Zealand. What an amazing cut! What an amazing turnaround, for one thing. And what an amazing two tests. It was fantastic. I'm not taking anything away from England, but New Zealand look a bit frazzled, to be honest with you. They're not the team I've been seeing recently. Second, the last test starts Friday. I'm hoping for a whitewash, just because that's me. Just one thing. England set a new world record in one day internationals against the Netherlands. They got 498. There was 36 fours and 26 sixes. I mean, it's only the Netherlands, but even so, that is what...
That's pretty impressive.
What a mullering.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I feel sorry for the Netherlands because no one wants to be on that.
See that replay in hockey and see how England goes in that one.
Oh, okay.
Because I hear the Netherlands quite good at hockey.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they are. And just a little bit about the World Cup. I'm not going to dwell on New Zealand getting knocked out because that was just shite. It's about the England team, really. I've never been a fan of Gareth Southgate. And after the last few performances, it's glaringly obvious he hasn't got a clue what he's doing. His choices make no sense. Bring Slabby Maguire on. What is all that about? He's getting booed by the fans, and deservedly so. That's the only way we can get rid of him. I don't want him for the World Cup. If he's in the World Cup, if he's managing us, we got no chance. So I probably won't even bother watching it.
Who would be a good replacement?
Well, I was saying to you before off air, I'd go for Harry Redknapp just to get us to the World Cup. And then I'd try to get, like, Graham Potter.
Yeah, I heard Graham Potter was kind of in the contention to take over.
Eddie Howe was at one stage. We had a chance of getting Eddie Howe before he went to Newcastle because he was out of a job for about a year.
Ages, yeah, because last was at Bournemouth.
Yeah, and when we were looking for a manager before Conte was even mentioned, I was saying get Eddie Howe. He's such a good manager.
Conte
has
an England manager. That's wild.
Yeah. So yeah, that's about it really. I'm not looking forward to the World Cup.
No,
because it nauseates up the Premiership as well.
Oh, yeah.
Premiership's going to be off for 6 weeks.
It just sounds like there's so much controversy surrounding this World Cup year.
I remember I went to Switzerland in 2019.
Okay, you had to get that in again, didn't you?
Yeah, I've already mentioned that.
Globetrotter. What was you doing over there, mate? Let's have the whole story. What was you doing over there? Do it in the
posh plus voice.
Go on.
Yeah, so I was over in Switzerland. If I didn't mention before... I was doing a drama educational program with Julia.
Ah, okay. It's very, very
just
exquisite.
Felt like
yes,
that
yes,
was
yes,
necessary
yes.
for the sports podcast.
No, it's very necessary. Super yeah. necessary.
No, it's fucking over. Yeah. I start over to Liverpool all the way back for a smack bam. P. West, mate.
Shizzle, man. Yeah.
Meat pie between the backbone. You're fucking brilliant, mate.
You being serious?
What? You know, I'm serious. Dead serious. No, if butter, maybe he's on the absolutes. If your nan had wheels, she'd be a bike, but she is, so she's not.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Oh, she is.
Very,
yeah.
very, very nice.
But no, yeah, so I was Switzerland for undisclosed reasons. And I stopped over in Qatar on the way, and just like the stadiums were kind of just being built, kind of you see the skeleton of like this one stadium as I was flying out of Qatar, and by the time I got back 3 weeks later it was finished.
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
It's fucked. And that was 3 years ago, and they've managed to build like cities from scratch.
Yeah.
Like just the fucking the whole process of deciding Qatar as the hosts, and just it's so like ethically fucked.
Yeah.
And like I'm not gonna go too much into the New Zealand Costa Rica game, but if that refereeing display is going to be consistent throughout the World Cup, I'm not watching it. It was shit. It was
hard to watch, eh?
It was just when it's so blatantly obvious when certain decisions regarding penalties and fouls and disallowed goals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was just frustrating.
We have the technology, but they don't use it. And when they do, they don't use it
properly. No, exactly. Like, pretty much in the space of 5 minutes, there were two fouls on New Zealand that could have been taken to VAR for potential penalties. And then there was a foul that was taken to VAR that eventually led to a disallowed goal that was very trivial, mm-hmm. I think. Matt Garbutt was supposedly fouled the Costa Rican right back, and he got fouled first, and he was scrambling to get back up to get after the ball and happened to knock him over. So
what about Wood's disallowed goal?
That was what led up to it. Personally, and I think 99% of football watchers would agree with me that it's just
bullshit.
Yeah,
it was
a great, terrible error from that Costa Rican centre-back trying to fucking scissor kick clearance there, and then a nice, great finish from Chris Wood behind Caelan Navas.
I'll tell you what we do, maybe we should write a movie about the what went on behind closed doors and that. I reckon it'd be really good. Matt Damon's got to be in it.
Oh, 100%. Matt Damon can play Matt Garbutt. Yeah, who else can we get? We'll fucking dig Chris Farley up.
Yeah.
Get him to play. Who can he play? Who can play Caelan Navas? They look pretty much identical.
Surely The Rock fits in there somehow.
Yeah, sure.
Dwayne Johnson.
Make it a Fast and Furious movie.
What, Vin Diesel in it?
Vin Diesel. Family. Who would Vin Diesel play? Probably the ref.
What was that old referee? Galino?
Pierluigi Collini.
Collini. Oh, he was just light bulb head. He was the 100%. Most amazing referee I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he was. He's probably the greatest referee of all time. Yeah. I think. I mean, like if you're someone like Mike Dean, referees for how many years in the Premier League? Last game, everyone's like, "Fuck off, good riddance." Yeah. Whereas Pierluigi
Collini, I've always found that they've never been answerable. At the end of a game, you'll see a manager and players talk. I think the referee should be out there and saying, "Well, I made that decision because," and someone go, "Well, why did you fucking do that?" They're never answerable.
True. Yeah, that would make it. That would be very interesting. Yeah. Make some good punditry talk.
Yeah.
Shit, but no, I agree. Pierluigi Collini's. Yeah. A fantastic referee, brutal but fair, and that's what all referees need to be.
Yeah,
unless you're refereeing the Qatar World Cup and you have a big what if.
Lots of everybody going out with wheelbarrows full of fucking money, I suppose.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that's it. All right. Anyway, what you got to say, Joe?
As per usual, it's punch face with me. Unfortunately.
Sorry, before you, I wanted to get into it. I just want to give a quick transfer update, if that's all right, football-wise.
Yes. Last night there was... was it announced last night?
Yeah, last... Yes. So, to kick things off, Naya Faguer from Rennes signed for West Ham, £30 million. Never heard of him, but Rennes were a bit of a dark horse team in Ligue 1 this season, so I'm hoping he'll be a good signing.
You know what I find sometimes especially the pundits in the UK... A new player will come over, they don't know anything about him, and rather than say they don't know anything about him, they'll make bullshit up.
Really?
So people become, they got preconceived ideas of what these players are like before they've even kicked a ball. They're so guilty of it.
Shit.
Check it out.
Okay. Fuck, you know, I mean, that actually does make sense. because they've got to come up with some stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, Sky Sports has a dedicated transfer
transfer
kind of thing, and they can't just be like, well, don't know anything about this player for like a good 80% of the players.
Yeah.
Who else have we got? You got, of course, two Spurs, your team. You got Yves Bissouma
from
Brighton
for 30 mil. What a good deal that is.
I think that's, I also think that's a good deal. It's a very good deal.
It's a fantastic
deal. Well, I think he's in that 23, 24 as well.
Yeah, he's a beast. There's, it's come out online a little while. You might have seen it before when they played Brighton, played Arsenal, and Arsenal had a chance of going fourth, and Brighton just like decimated them. And there's an Arsenal player sitting there, and Bissouma is dancing past, just looking at him, laughing. So he's a legend for Tottenham before he even started.
Tottenham legend, that's fucking beautiful. Mark Rocker, young, well, not really young, he's 25, he's from Bayern Munich. He signed for Leeds for 12 mil. Interesting signing. He's kind of notorious as being at Bayern, but not really playing.
Okay.
He's one of those players that is kind of a victim of like a rotational lineup. So hopefully he does well at Leeds. That could leave way for Calvin Phillips to leave as well. He's been linked with lots of Prem teams.
There's just so many we talked before. I'm not paying attention to any of them. At one stage, like Bissouma was going to Arsenal, they'd reckon they'd signed him. There's just so much bullshit going on. Until I get an email from Tottenham telling me we've signed him, and I see a picture of him with a shirt on, I'm not fucking listening.
Fair enough.
Because Jesus, I mean, we got Jesus, he's between us and Arsenal.
Yeah, because that's, I wonder if that's going to happen. I guess we'll find out when you get an email saying that. Yeah.
Just me, though. I'm the only person I email, and I let everybody else know.
Shit. I can run all the Tottenham socials secretly.
That's the one.
Maria Demirel went from Juventus to Atalanta for 20 mil. He was one of Juventus's star centre-backs for the last couple of years, until he went out on loan to Atalanta for some reason.
Okay.
So that's a really good signing for them, especially considering they don't really play any like left or right backs, play three at the back. It's really strong to have him in there. Giovanni Simeone.
Recognise that name.
Yeah, I mean, what's Diego? He's been Atletico's manager for ages, but he went from the recently relegated Cagliari to Verona, scored like 25 goals for Verona, which is very good. They're in the bottom half of Serie A for 10.5 mil.
Wow.
Fantastic deal, made that loan deal permanent. Jonjo Kenny, released by Everton recently, and he signed on a free for Hertha Berlin.
Wow.
Which is interesting. You don't see many English players outside of England. Yeah. I mean, apart from Jude Bellingham, who's currently at Dortmund, and Jadon Sancho.
I was going to say Sancho, yeah.
But yeah, hopefully he actually gets some game time, because somehow Seamus Coleman was keeping him out of that first team, despite the fact Seamus Coleman's been... I mean, he broke his leg terribly and came back from that injury. Credit to him. He's old as shit. I thought he'd be moving on. And I mean, I'm not Frank Lampard, so I personally wouldn't have released Jonjo Kenny, considering that Seamus Coleman's
there's a fair bit going on at Everton, actually.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
I think we're after the bus driver.
Shit. Remind me who that is.
Begins with R. Can't think.
Oh, Richarlison.
Richarlison, yeah.
Okay, I heard he was going to PSG, but then...
Also Chelsea and the Gooners have been...
True.
That's what I mean. There's so many rumours going on at the moment. I mean, you come up with one when we did that thing, someone going to Man City. Who was it? Beppe.
Oh, Mbappe. Yes,
We both went, no, that's bullshit.
Oh, it's in Liverpool, wasn't it?
It was Liverpool. It was supposed to be Liverpool.
Yeah, it was bullshit. And Mane's gone.
Yeah, gone to Bayern.
Fucking hell, man. What a loss that is.
I mean, I think Luis Diaz is a good replacement, but long term.
Yeah, but whether he fits in.
I mean, who's currently playing out wide? Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané. Oh, no, Leroy Sané's a Bayern. I think he'll go straight into that first team.
Yeah, of course.
100%. Especially with Lewandowski on his way.
I'm surprised he wanted to get moved to Germany. I would have thought maybe Spain would have been more.
We're in Spain, though. I don't think he would have fit in at Barca or Real. I mean, Real's just,
They're broke, aren't they?
It's Barca. Gutted. Just due to ridiculously high wages for players, pretty much. Nemanja Matic went from United to Roma on a free.
Oh, wow.
So he's rejoined Jose.
See, Man United, they've got to get rid of players that no one wants. I mean, who's going to buy the human fridge?
Fuck.
No one's going to buy Slabby Maguire.
Slabby, that was arguably worst transfer of all time. Oh. 80 million from Leicester.
Yeah.
God, there's no justifying that to be a good
when chance. When Sidegate brought him on against Hungary, that's when I switched telly off. Just like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
That's Nations League too. No one gives a shit about Nations League, really. It's like by the Conference League of international competitions.
Yeah, and I think England's been relegated from that one. Which is, yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
That's enough from me. Joe, it's your podcast. Your turn to talk.
That's all good. Yeah.
Is that
it?
We finished.
No, not quite. Nice, not quite.
I'm off to do much better things.
Yeah, again, like I said earlier, obviously my area of expertise is combat sports. Now, I could go into all the UFC and boxing news that was over the weekend, but I feel like I should probably touch on probably the most anticipated kickboxing fight in the last 7 years. Which did happen on, I believe it was on Monday, here in New Zealand. That was Tenshin Nasukawa versus Takeru Sagawa, held at the Tokyo Dome. It was dubbed the match. This fight was huge. Now, to put this into perspective, the biggest UFC gate in history was Conor McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez at $17 million. This was $25
million. Yes. What, between the two of them?
So, Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez, biggest gate UFC history, $17 million, right?
That's the winner.
Just overall, right? Takeru Sagawa versus Tenshin Nasukawa, which was on Monday, was 25. Held at the Tokyo Dome. No international streaming, right? This was the highest level of striking in the world, right? Sure. And this fight was huge, right? Why this fight was so huge? Because it was the former risen and current Rise star Tenshin Nasukawa, who kind of had his claim to fame with Floyd Mayweather, at least in the Western world. I don't know if you guys remember, like a few years ago when Floyd went over to Japan and beat him up in a boxing ring, right? Which was kind of hard to watch, to be honest. Like it wasn't really necessary, but it kind of seemed like a cash grab for Floyd.
I mean, it is Floyd Mayweather.
It is Floyd. Richard's yeah. But I don't know. It was good to see Tenshin like get that sort of
exposure.
Yeah. So yeah, Takeru versus Tenshin. Essentially, the history between these two was that Tenshin had called out Takeru back in 2015, but the fight never really came to fruition because Takeru competes under a promotion called K1. K1, legendary promotion, the gold standard of striking back in the 90s and the early 2000s, right? But no, Nasukawa competed under Risen.
Another
promotion in Japan. Sick promotion, right? All these like some of the best fighters in the world that compete in these promotions. They're so good. So they finally did a cross promotion sort of deal, Risen and K1, mm-hmm. And that happened on Monday, in the Tokyo Dome.
This Monday gone,
oh, yes. Shit. It was huge. But there wasn't much Western media coverage of it, you know? Tenshin Nasukawa did defeat Takeru Sagawa by unanimous decision, which is, like, crazy, you know? I believe it was three. Might have been five. I'm not actually sure. It was fought under K1 rules.
What are K1 rules?
Like, it's K1, just to... it's just... there's different rule sets in kickboxing. Uh-huh. K1 is, I think...
Everest.
It's... Hold on. My brain is not working today.
So I just woke up, heard K1, I thought we were talking about mountaineering for a second.
Just climbing a mountain. That's actually what it was, on top of Everest.
Oh, it's the record. It's the record label, isn't it, Rob?
Just won't leave me alone, man.
Yeah, so it's the rule set encourages more, basic striking techniques, pretty much. Yeah, so no elbows, forearms, or anything like that.
Did you see it?
I caught the highlights of it because there was no international stream.
Just a quick question. Why wasn't it, if it was such a big thing, why wasn't it shown like all over the gap?
Well, there was no international streaming and plus, I'm not sure. I think it's just, I don't know.
Bad. Someone just forgot.
The promotions, look, the promotion, Risen and K1, it's great promotions.
They don't care about the other revenue.
But
the
Western media, their Western audience isn't as engaged with it.
Okay.
You know? Still, though, huge, freaking huge. It was an incredible event. Like, it was super grandiose. It looked like something like you'd see in professional wrestling with the big stages and the massive arenas. Like, you're in Tokyo Dome. That's huge.
Yeah.
Godzilla smashing about.
Yeah, it's insane.
Brilliant.
So
but
yeah,
that's all part of it, though, isn't it? Because the fight don't really last that long, does it? So you've got to pump, you've got to build it up a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah, it was the highest level of kickboxing in the world, and if actually striking in the world.
What do you mean, like how many times they punch people?
No, just the technique and the level of talent. Like, it's just, you know, so high compared to anywhere else in the world. Yeah, it was really cool to watch. And so that was, like, the main thing I wanted to highlight. And encourage people to watch it more. Because I think that the stuff that you see in K1 and Risen and even, like, ONE Championship, those promotions over in Asia, is, like, the product is insane, you know? So definitely give that a watch. Yeah, that was sort of my, like, little highlight for this week. Now, over to something a bit more controversial. Vince McMahon has landed himself into a bit of trouble.
Fucking that dickhead.
Yes, that guy.
That guy.
He's like, how old? Like 115? He's still ripped.
I mean, well...
Yeah, but that's all... He's pinging up, isn't he?
100%. Well, he's voluntarily stepped back from his roles within the company as the CEO amid an investigation of an alleged affair and payout with a WWE employee.
Not surprising somehow.
Yeah.
Bloke from a hot dog stand.
Well, it's actually having an affair with a former WWE paralegal and paying her $3 million as part of a separation agreement from January. Sweet. That also barred her from discussing or disparaging her relationship with him. Yes, seems like it. An internal probe issued by a WWE special...
I think an internal probe was probably issued. That's what the whole problem was.
By a WWE special committee reportedly found McMahon issued similar non-disclosure agreements with other former female WWE employees, alleging misconduct from both McMahon and WWE head of talent relations, John Laurinaitis. Jeez. You can't stop.
Oh, right, I'm so sorry, man. <It's>
throughout the duration of me reading out, like, the synopsis of what happened to him, bro, like, you guys are trying to hold in your laugh so much. I was trying to be all serious and I look over at Sam and he's just like, he's trying to, like, hold it in.
They've got to leave that in, man.
Yeah, so I guess the big thing is, like, this article kind of highlights the main concern. It's like, oh, but what about the storylines in the WWE? It's like, oh, for God's sake. So I don't know. Thoughts, guys? Thoughts?
I have no thoughts on it whatsoever. It's rubbish. He's disgusting, sleazy bastard.
Yeah.
Too much money, too much fucking juicing up. Too many knocks on the head.
Yeah, I mean, you just think, like, the Dark Side of the Ring series.
That's okay, yeah, that always comes to mind, because the
fact there's two seasons of that just throughout stuff that just seriously dark shit that's happened throughout WWE, WWF history. You just know that, like, it's predominantly aimed at kids to entertain them, like, it's like these really cool superhero-esque figures, and just to know all that's going on behind the scenes just ruins that illusion. Horrible. And, like, you'd think someone in a position of power, you'd hope, wouldn't be such a sleazy old fart, but he is.
Yeah.
Has always been, or will always be.
Some people have critiqued him for his handling of that company, kind of blaming him for its downfall and you know, I'm not entirely sure because I don't watch that much wrestling, so I guess I can't really comment. But we were talking about last night.
Again, like on Saturday afternoon, Saturday sort of mid-morning it's on.
Yeah.
And sometimes if I'm sort of doing something before I come up here to do the Saturday show, I just switch the telly and it's on. And they just talk. It's like out of an hour, there's probably like 5 minutes of people fighting. Mm. The rest of it's just posturing and just bullshit.
Yeah, it's very much like a, again, it's entertainment, it's sports entertainment, but I don't know, within professional wrestling, it's an art form of storytelling, it's an art form of athleticism.
Don't get me wrong, I think they're amazing athletes, and the things they do, and the injuries that we don't know about, 100%. It's amazing, but I don't think they've read the room and how people think these days, all that. sort of, you know, all the bullshit and having goes at each other. It's boring now, mate. All trash talk. I can, it bores the shit out of me.
Because it's kind of corny now, right? Yeah, it's not like it used to be.
But back in the day, it was great with the Ultimate Warrior and that sleazebag fucking Hulk Hogan.
But no, I'd never been, like, even watching it as, like, a 10-year-old kid, like, highlights from, like, the early to mid-80s of Ultimate Warrior just coming out, just it's just pretty, just around the thing, it's like, oh, yeah, the Ultimate Warrior!
Oh, it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan and all that, look.
Yeah, I'm he's the very first Royal Rumble winner. He's just, he's Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I remember
is it because we were all younger and you look back at it nostalgically, but when... They didn't have the amount of talk that they do now. It's just more talk and just...
It just seems very much commercialised. Yeah. Whereas back in, like, I think
it always was, mate, but it was more theatrical.
Yeah
but definitely. No, but, like, I always thought that the 90s was the best. Like, if I was going to watch professional wrestling, I'd go watch it when I was back in the 90s. When Cactus Jack, And it just, and especially when WCW was at its peak, and then you had like ECW and it was at its peak. Yeah. Like, you'd be having these like shows in these like, these like warehouses in like New York or Philadelphia and ECW, and you just have the barbed wire and stuff. Oh, man, and they'd just be, even like their characters and the gimmicks would be super like gritty and urban, you know? It wouldn't be as like, as flash as, say, like the WWF was. But then you had WCW and you had the NWO and, you know, you had like fucking Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall coming out and stuff, like smoking cigars and shit. Like, I remember there was one time where Hulk Hogan came out with the Hell's Angels and you had like Dennis Rodman for one and stuff.
Of course Dennis Rodman.
like back in the 90s, the NWO was the shit, you know, it was the coolest shit, you know? Yeah. You just see
is it had its day then?
Yeah.
Well, not all of it. I mean, is it at its day now?
I think it's, like, so commercialised to a point now where, like, the kind of script writers probably think, oh, let's... Like, we've got to make this kid-friendly to a point where it's like, oh, let's make sure we put in a couple of scripts that we can clip to put on our Facebook.
Yeah.
So it looks good. Like, it's not about, like, the drawn-out storylines, like, back in the day when it was, like, just, like super... Just super. It was easy to invest in, even, like... Yeah. Even now when you're kind of grown up and you realise, oh, it's just like acting, and it's acting and you kind of like stage combat.
Oh, yeah, always knew it was bullshit. But it was because it was so over the top and it was so camp almost in a way. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no one's like the bad guy anymore. Like, there's a bad guy, but they'll always...
It's always like super corny sort of like villainish shit. It's not as like, I just feel like back in the day it was so much more like, oh, I hate that guy, like he was sadistic, you know?
You wanted him to have his head smashed in.
It's like, oh, I hate that guy, but then he does something nice, it's like, oh, that's fucking what we do.
Every now and again, I'll go back and I'll just Google something like wrestling in the 90s.
We were doing that last night.
Right? We were doing that last night, where I played some of the old promos from like the ECW days. They were so out of pocket, man. 100%. Like, it was
insane. Stone Cold used to like, didn't he drive him with like an ice cream truck or something?
It was a beer truck.
Well, the beer truck.
Yeah.
Fucking shooting beer all over the ring and the stage and shit. And there's people in the crowd that are just there getting fucking showered in beer. Like, do you see that nowadays? Nah, he probably's like a Nerf. Blow.
Yeah, man.
And then hit someone, lawsuit, $50
Well, there's hopefully... I wonder what's underground, because it must have started somewhere. There must be something coming up that will take over from it.
Well, that's
I don't know, but then you're looking at Americans, they're fucking weird.
I mean, AEW
has
a lot of potential right now.
Yes.
I'm looking at their roster right now, and they have a great roster. So ex-WWE guys who are genuinely passionate about the craft.
AEW was definitely like the resurgence of like... It kind of, at first, like, I remember seeing the announcement, because, like, the thing is, it blows up on social media, so I remember, like, being on Twitter, like, trying to find out about some fighting news, and then that popped up, and I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting. So there's another promotion that was made up out of guys from Japan, right? Mm. One of them being an ex-WWE guy, right, which is Cody Rhodes, who was Dusty Rhodes' son.
Yeah.
And then they obviously, like, built this whole promotion, brought in a bunch of indie guys, ex-WWE guys, and gave them more freedom with what they wanted to do with their gimmicks and blase. So it's cool to see that happening, and then people have more creative freedom as opposed to like WWE, where they're just gonna like, okay, this is your gimmick, don't care if you don't like it. This is who you are.
If you do this, or you won't get paid, or you will get fired.
Yeah.
I feel like contracts are just made of dust now. Like, there's no room for error. There's no room for creativity. Like, AEW, there's kind of the balance between being commercialized. And, I mean, obviously, it's going to be commercialized. It's on primetime TV, and it's got the massive arenas that they have to hire out. But, like, you have a good, like you said, good balance of kind of indie, up-and-coming, unknown wrestlers and ex-WWE guys.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Jericho's there, Christian's there, CM Punk, John Moxley.
Oh, CM Punk, I like
that. Yeah, shit, yeah.
And I don't think...
John Moxley, who was Dean Ambrose in WWE, they're all at AEW now.
Yeah.
And I think the Rhodes brothers are still there, Dustin and Cody. They're both, I don't know. I briefly looked at the roster last night, and it's like a good mix. Like, just...
But they're quite older wrestlers, really.
Oh, yeah,
now
sure.
they are. Yeah. But like, I just feel like wrestling is more performative now. It's just purely for the flashy moves and it's the glitz and the glamour and like I don't know. It's just not the same as it used to be. Like I was like, yeah, I was talking to Jack about it last night, and I said, bro, I haven't like properly enjoyed it since when I first started watching it in like 2005, and then like. Gradually I just like stopped, and then like I'd start for like a few months again, and then there was like a period between like 2016 and 2017 when all that stuff was like kicking off in Japan and stuff, and it was real popular. They're like, we got back into it because it was super interesting. Yeah, Bullet Club really kicked off that popularity overseas. You know,
NXT, speaking of NXT, I don't know if Bullet Club's related, but NXT used to be a great gateway to WWE.
Like, oh yeah,
the full on the SmackDown Raw stuff, but now it's just like completely separate almost.
It feels too plastic.
It's trying to branch off into its own promotion. But there's just not enough high profile names within the competition to like go down, like to try to separate itself from WWE despite being in the same name. Now, the only reason I got into NXT in the first place because my mate's band, one of their songs was the theme song for NXT. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, this is dope. And then I was like, huh, it's a new wrestling promotion. Same with TNA. Remember, I was trying to find WWE.
TNA used to be like hot
Hardy
shit.
Hardy Brothers and Sting was on there for ages. It had a great lineup.
Mm.
It just seems to have faded into nothing again now.
They had the ring with like it wasn't a square, but it was like an octagon. Oh, it was like a hexagon.
Something like that. It wasn't quite square.
It had like six ropes. It was. And then they had this thing called the X Division, and basically that had four pillars. Right, stacked up across the ring, and then they have like an X dangling above, and then ropes, which would hang above the ring, which would hold the X down, and then literally the whole basis of it was just guys that could do like flips and shit, and they'd be doing all this crazy stuff in the ring, that.
So that's what WWE's missing, just out of pocket, outrageous shit. Like I mentioned earlier, the Stone Cold beer truck. Like, can you imagine that? Oh, I'm going to go watch some wrestling tonight.
And then seeing that.
Stone Cold just coming out of his fucking truck and just spraying beer all over people. You're like, what the fuck? I didn't expect this. But there's just nothing like that anymore.
It's just back then. Standard. Yeah, back then it was guys that would have that persona of badasses, right? That's what you saw them as. Just badass dudes, man. And getting face-to-face, not censoring themselves, and just, you know, like squaring up,
too
you know?
Worry about lawsuits now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what in America, you can sue someone $50 million bucks for, I don't know, some bullshit.
Just pure hyper-masculinity, right, in the ring, you know? And, like, as a kid, when we were kids, and I was like, what, fucking five, between the ages of 5 and 9, I'm like, yeah, I want to see that, you know? But then it, you know. Oh.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt him.
No, that's all good. Move on from it in a sec. But yeah, then it sort of fizzled out, and now we're at this point where it just doesn't feel like it's fun to watch anymore.
But Stephanie's taking over Vince, hasn't she?
Well, after this whole debacle, it looks like she might. But yeah. Geez, interesting talk about professional wrestling. We always seem to go into a deep rant about it. Mm-hmm.
So I remember we were talking about me, you and Jack last night. Jack's the other half of Powered Up Radio.
Yeah.
You guys are much, much more, spent much, much longer watching. I only watched it for on and off for like 2 years. And you were talking about all these wrestlers and these promotions and shit. And
I just think, it was a big part of my childhood. Because
Sorry. Carry on. I'm going to say something after what you're going to say.
Well, like, it was a big part of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, that and like a whole bunch of other things, right? But it was just because like my mum never really told me off for watching it, and so I had kind of had the freedom just to be like, oh, wrestling's on, oh, I'm gonna go watch wrestling, oh, but like then there's all this other stuff that I was into, and it was just one of the things which I thought was cool when I was a kid, and I still remember that. And yeah, what were you gonna say?
About 6 months ago, I just looked on the WWE website, looked at the roster out of curiosity, and they've added like 5 or 6 new championships, like within SmackDown and Raw. Like, you know how there was like the Intercontinental US Championship? Now they're all like individual ones for the promotions. I feel like that's another thing to add on to my point about no passion, no drive, no outrageous shit. Like, there's only like 4 or 5 titles you can compete with as individual wrestlers. There's the World Heavyweight Championship, the WWE Championship, the United States Championship, and the Intercontinental Championship, as well as the tag team ones. And that was the only thing you can get. There's a huge, huge roster that, I mean, I suppose the WWE performers are hoping to get written into.
Yeah.
But now there's pretty much, like, everyone gets a participation medal, and there happens to be in a big belt. There's just all sorts of just kind of stupid belts that you can get. I don't know. I talk about this like I've watched wrestling. I haven't watched wrestling in ages.
I haven't watched it in ages, bro. I don't know.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Anyways, that's that for wrestling, right? Interesting talk. It'd be cool to brush over that a bit more and get some people to come in and talk about it. Because I feel like everyone's got some sort of pro wrestling story. I mean, like, even if they've just watched it at their mate's house.
Yeah, there's like a local wrestling syndicate in Auckland.
Is there?
Yeah, there's like, and it's the same kind of WWE type shit. It's just that I think it's a Mount Roscoe Intermediate that they hosted, but they have like belts and shit and like all these wrestlers that.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's cool. It's kind of cool.
A couple of years ago, I used to do a show on Auck TV called the Guava Lounge on a Thursday, and we had a New Zealand wrestler come in.
You're on the Guava Lounge?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And this wrestler bloke come in, and we were talking off air, and he was really good. And then when we were on camera, he like got this persona on, and he wanted to do like a wrestling thing on someone. You know when they slap him on the chest?
Yeah.
So he said, "Right, volunteer." So I put my arm up. I said, "I'll do it." So I took my shirt off, and then he started taking the piss out of my body. And I was going, "Hang on, mate. Like, I'm not a wrestler. I'm doing you a favour. What's going on here?" And he slapped me, you know, when they do that slap. It didn't really hurt. Well, it did for a second. I just had a handprint on my chest. And then I went and sat down, and I was looking at where all he had his stuff, and he had his key ring, and he had this little fluffy lamb on his key ring, this little twirl. And I went, "Oi, mate." And I fucking went into the interview. I go, "Mate, you're giving it all up. What's all this about? What's all this about? Giving me all that shit." Oh, he's a real nice bloke. There is a little bit of a scene here.
Yeah, I think it's...
I just wanted to get a story and I used to be on TV. That's
I don't know much about it. I just see it pop up occasionally. Like, oh, shit,
it's bro, it's got a big audience. It's a massive world, like, international audience, bro. Like, it's bigger than people expect, you know? So, yeah, like, there's literally, like, pro wrestling's everywhere, you know? Yeah, so that's that for professional wrestling.
I feel like I said that's that for professional wrestling about 5 times in the last 10
minutes.
Can
we make it that it?
That is it.
My mind's wandering a bit.
That is it.
That it?
Yeah, well, there's a few more things we could talk about.
No.
Nah?
I'm chill. Don't
know about it. Chill. If you guys do want... Well, we were talking about the whole transgender thing earlier, and we kind of decided that we weren't qualified to talk about it, but it was, like, the biggest news in the sporting world in the last day or two, the last 48 hours.
I don't know much about it. I don't feel like it's my place to talk about
it. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I don't know. It's just not.
I think you should wait until you get an Olympian in here, and we'll put it on him, I think.
Blame on him.
Do you know an Olympian?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
We all know
an Olympian. There is an Olympian at BFM.
Ah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
It was me. I was a pole vault.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was weightlifter.
Pole vaulter.
I just played lawn bolts.
No, I was just a pole vault.
Oh, man.
She's just there on the TV.
Yeah, it's like, all right, mate, all right. It's my joke, all right.
Actually, no, another news. Sam here made it onto Footy Screen and Fork as the food that he was eating at the Blues vs Crusaders game. The final... Sam was on Footy Scran, the Instagram page for it, because you watched the Blues vs Crusaders over the weekend, the Super Rugby final.
And I posted it on my social media, and Footy Scran reposted it on theirs.
Was it good?
It was Mrs. Max. It was just a dairy pie, pretty much. $7, so fucking rip off.
Fucking rip off.
I was fucking.
It was quite funny when I was coming home from doing the show on Saturday. I didn't know there was a rugby game on. I had no idea.
Oh, shit.
And I got off at Otahoo because the trains are fucked and there's like guards everywhere. And I went up to this bloke and I said, "What's going on, mate?" You know, and he goes, "Oh, the game." And I went, "What game?" He went, "The Blues." I went, "What are the Blues?"
Was it fucking...
I had no idea. Yeah, he goes, "Rugby," and I went, "What's that?"
Lost for interest. Fuck off.
Yeah. Well, the Blues, like the Blues vs Crusaders, would have just taken over the media coverage over the weekend. You know, that it probably explains
and the
why.
The Blues got fucking dominated.
Yes, they did.
It was
which
it was a bad game for the Blues. It was.
Yeah.
Crusaders won. That's it.
It was a big crowd. Too. How many masks did you see? None.
None. No.
Absolutely outrageous.
Guilty as charged for myself. My mask is at home, but. Yeah, good game. Not much else.
I mean, are you a Blues supporter, or did you just went to see a game?
My mate bought a support a couple of tickets, and he's like, "You keen to come?" I was like, "Sure." Yeah. My mate's dad is Leo McDonald. He's a coach.
I don't know.
He's the Blues coach.
Is he?
Yeah. I went. He's for ex All Black too. Yeah, I went to. I went to school with her, and that's pretty much my only connection to the Blues.
Okay. But, did you enjoy it? I mean, because you didn't really care who won or lost.
No, yeah, great
and
experience.
Sometimes that's so much better games for a game.
And I'm also one, at my old boarding school, quite a few of my mates from who were in the rugby program at my school now playing the Super Rugby, and there was a handful of them that were playing on the day, which was really cool. Yeah, which was it was nice to see. Like, Dalton Papali'i, captain of the Blues, I was at the boarding school with him. Tamaiti Williams, he played for the Crusaders, he was at the game. And it's just like, I was very, very quite proud, because I know those guys.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I was like, fucking, you guys brilliant. Have put your blood, sweat and tears into this, even throughout school, and it's fucking paid off.
Yeah, yeah, good for them.
And it was real
shame
good.
Shame it's rugby.
And my mate was he's a Celtics fan, and he's a Blues fan, right?
Oh, he must have been happy then.
No, he had a real bad weekend.
Yeah.
Because the Celtics lost the NBA Finals against Golden State Warriors.
He got swatted.
Not good. Oh, actually, in basketball news, members of the Women's National Basketball Association, or the Phoenix Mercury, have met the U.S. State Department to discuss fellow player Brittany Griner's month-long imprisonment in Russia.
She's still there.
She's still there.
Has she been, been sentenced or anything? Or is she just
locked up? Pretty much, to my knowledge anyway.
Well, the State Department confirmed the meeting on Monday, saying it included officials from its office that advocates for hostages and wrongfully arrested Americans. Griner was arrested in the airport in Moscow, obviously we know why, for the vape cartridges, which contained cannabis derivative within her bag. Yeah.
Remember we talked about this on one of the very first podcasts.
It was a couple months ago. Yeah. Can't believe it's still going on.
Well, you can, really, because she's just been forgotten about.
Pretty much. Which is a real shame. Hopefully she gets out of that unscathed.
Yeah.
And one other little tidbit I saw, I think it was on Twitter, the Netherlands women's football team is the first women's football team to match the men's team's pay.
Oh, no. What about Americans?
I don't think they're still matched. I don't think the pay's still matched.
Oh, okay.
Even though they're significantly better in terms of world football than the men's team, I think the Netherlands are matching the pay of the men's team.
It'd have to be the Dutch, because they are world leaders in a lot of stuff like that. So good for them.
Yeah, really good for them. I hear some arguments about it's not as good, that's why they don't get paid. But fucking, they're professional sportsmen at the end of the day. Why shouldn't they get paid?
Yeah.
They get big crowds as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's also like a bunch of F1 news, but I feel like I should probably leave that to the experts for next week. Right. So that's probably going to be a talking point for next week. Other than that, there's... Yeah, I mean, unless you guys... Well, there's Miami, Toronto, Mexico City are named amongst the 2026 World Cup co-hosts.
Yeah, some good-looking... Pretty much a bunch of... But all the big cities in America, plus...
Yeah, yeah.
Four in Canada, and then Guadalajara, and... Is Mexico City as well, you said?
Yeah,
that's good. It'll be a good World Cup.
Yeah.
It'll be good. It'll be quite funny seeing the Americanization of it, though. I mean, think of back to 1990 when the US World Cup was here.
They tried to change the fucking rules and have 4 15-minute quarters.
Fuck that. That's outrageous.
That was all down to advertising. That's why Americans can make an hour game of basketball last fucking 4.5 days. Because it's timeout advert,
Mountain Dew bullshit. Fucking, I think it was Whitney Houston or Diana Ross took a penalty on the opening ceremony and absolutely scuffed it. That was quite funny. Oh, that was crack out. It was like probably the worst penalty I've ever seen. But that was pretty weird.
It's going to be like a halftime show in the World Cup.
Fuck, imagine that.
50 Cent.
Imagine England. One thing I am looking forward to in the World Cup is England versus USA. They're in the same pool.
I would not be surprised if we lose to them, to be honest. I would not be surprised.
I don't know. I hope not, that's for sure. American do have a pretty solid team.
Oh, they're
a football team.
Soccer. Yeah.
Okay.
Soccer
team, yeah.
Wankers. Soccer team.
Christian Pulisic's my favorite American soccer player.
Who?
Christian Pulisic. Do you not know Christian Pulisic? What about Weston McKennie, man? Are
all
you
I know
American,
about
asshole?
You're just a walking fucking thing, ain't you?
Yeah.
A walking fucking thing. Damn asshole. Right.
Josie Altidore, you don't even know.
Bro, the only thing I know about US soccer is that David Beckham played for the LA Galaxy very, very briefly. That's about it. I don't know anything else about it. I didn't realize that the World Cup was being hosted in the United States.
Yeah.
2026, baby. Red, white, and blue. Walmart, Doritos, etc.
Yeah. Assault Rivals.
Chipotle.
Jeez. Yeah. Hey, good talk, guys. Yeah. I guess that's us.
Thank you. See you.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Sports always the winner. Sports should be spelled FUN, not WIN.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.